Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello and welcome into the 24/7 Sports College Football Recruiting Podcast. My name is Andrew Ivins, Director of Scouting for 24/7 Sports. Got a special guest today on the show, another college football coach, arguably one of the top defensive line coaches in America, Charlie Partridge, who is at the University of Pittsburgh. Charlie, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. It's great to be on with you. It was great to see you last weekend, and I'm excited to be on the show. I think the world of you and everything you produce, so I'm excited to talk to you, man.
Yeah, you know, we go back. I don't think people realize that you were the head coach at Florida Atlantic when I was a student there many years ago. I remember covering the Owls. I remember interviewing you, and then you know, you've climbed through the ranks, and we wanted to get you on the podcast because me and my co-host Cooper Patagna, he's off this week. You know, we admire your defensive line play. I think it speaks for itself, and then just kind of how you attack things on the recruiting trail. And really, I was trying to come up with a witty question to kick this interview off, and I couldn't find one. So I'm just going to ask, you know, how do you continue to prove our rankings wrong and turn these, you know, quote unquote, three-star prospects into elite defensive linemen that a lot of them are going off to the NFL?
You know, it's funny you couldn't come up with a witty question, because I probably wouldn't have a witty answer anyway. So, you know, we had talked a little bit about it Saturday. So I thankfully I've had a little time to think about it. And to be honest with you, I think a big part of it is really finding a fit for your system. You know, I think there's a lot of guys out there that, and I get it. I do. I mean, what I'm saying is I think there's a lot of recruiters out there that are chasing highly ranked players. And listen, highly ranked players obviously have talent, but you could get, I could recruit a 4 or 5 star guy that in no way fits our system, and it would be a failure. You know what I mean? So I think over the years, I've kind of learned to find a guy that fits what we are, fits what we do, and hopefully find some of those intangibles that allow him to be able to carry the burden of me as a hard coach. And I'm not so hard to the point. We have an extremely fun time in our room, but it takes some time to develop. And that's what I mean by hard, is you're going to have to weather the storm at times of maybe it's going to be a year or two. You're not going to get it right when you want it. So it's looking for all those things that fit those categories, allow you to develop, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And I got some follow-ups there, but I just want to kind of give listeners, you know, your background and your resume. You know, I said you're one of the top defensive line coaches in the country. I mean, you're a 2-time winner of Football Scoop's National Defensive Line Coach of the Year Award. You just won it here in 2022. Pittsburgh, your Panthers, second nationally in sacks with 48 sacks. You had 18 different players that recorded at least half a sack during the season. Everyone knows the name Kalaj Kansi. Went in the first round of the NFL draft, number 21 overall, to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But you've churned out some other guys while there in the Steel City. Patrick Jones, a third round in 2021. Rashad Weaver, Jalen Twyman in the sixth round. And then, you know, when you start going through your resume, when you were at Wisconsin, when J.J. Watt was there, you were at Arkansas when Trey Flowers was there. You were at FAU when Trey Hendrickson was there. You've been all over the place. And what's it been like just kind of riding the journey of being a coach?
It's, I mean, obviously there's times like any job. I mean, I'm sure your journey in journalism has had its ups and its downs. But at the end of the day, you must love what you do because you're really good at it. And I don't think you get good at something unless you enjoy the majority of what you do. I love to coach. I think that was a challenge, to be honest with you, as a head coach, is I missed coaching. I was spending so much time being a CEO. I love being in a room with the guys and helping them develop. It's been an amazing ride. And like you said, I've been very, very fortunate. I've been blessed to work with great coaches. That kind of goes all the way back to, most of your listeners may or may not have ever heard of Drake University, right? But Drake is where I played. I went from growing up in South Florida to signing day came and went for me. I was a small college fair guy, right? So I went to Drake University. But at that time, we had a great head coach who made the experience incredible. And then teammates were Dave Dorn, head coach at NC State, Chris Ash, the secondary coach for the Raiders, Brendan Daly, who's a D-line coach, now the linebacker coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I can go on and on with some successful high school coaches. So, you know, early I was around some guys that loved the sport and because of that wanted to get into college coaching. And now we're in the NFL. So the journey is hard to even describe how great it's been. I mean, it's had its ups, its downs. And, you know, when I got fired at FAU, that was certainly a down moment. But I remember, you know, there was a couple months there before I got hired at Pitt after that time. And I just kept saying to myself, I'm going to be, you know, one of the best. I never thought the best, right? And I still don't think the best. But my goal was to be one of the best developers of D linemen in the country. And that was truly one of my goals and nothing else. And thankfully, I've gotten into a phenomenal system of defense. Coach Narduzzi's system has been fun to learn. And it's really D-line friendly, which allows our guys to be aggressive. And because of that, we've been up there in the country in sacks every year the last 4 or 5 years. And it's been a fun ride. There's, like I said, been ups and downs along the way.
So that's the witty, or that's the information I was trying to find. You know, I went through a bunch of Google searches. Okay, so you're at Drake when Dave Doran and Chris Ash were there. You guys were all, I mean, were any of them your roommates or what was that
Dave,
like?
Dave was, and me and Dave lived together. And me and Chris, we ran in the same circles. And Brendan Daly, same thing. I know Brendan Daly might not be as known to the college fans, but he's a long time. I think he has, God, Andrew, I think he has 5 Super Bowl rings now because he was with Coach Belichick at New England and then has since gone to Kansas City. And, you know, so, yeah, the group of us were together. Our spring breaks when we got into coaching, so I won't bore you, but I coached high school for 1 year and then went back to Drake to coach. We were all coaching together, and our spring break, we literally picked a highway and went down to other colleges' spring football and just begged them to let us in the door. I met the likes of Phil Bennett and you know, who's a legendary defensive coordinator, and I can go on, but I remember 1 year we picked I-35, and now we got after it the night before, but we were the first ones at the door because we were at that age, right? So, I mean, we'd go out late at night, but we were at 6 o'clock. We were banging on the door waiting for somebody to show up, and we earned some respect. They kind of knew us as the Drake guys, and, you know, the only other sidebar I'll tell you is, have you ever been to the coaches' convention?
Yeah.
Have you ever
yeah.
been to that? So, for those that don't know, listeners, I mean, it's you're talking, am I exaggerating if I say 10 to 15,000 coaches?
It's insane. It's like being at a theme park almost in terms of the volume of people.
There's no doubt. And I remember the first year we went there, it was in Dallas at the Anatole. And we knew nobody. It was me, Dave, and Chris. I'll never forget this. We walked through the lobby, didn't know a soul, walked all the way back through, didn't know a soul. And we looked at each other and said, this sucks. And we ended up going out that night and we came back. It was probably 2 or 3 in the morning when we got back to the hotel and it was still packed. And we all said to each other that night, where I remember we were looking over, you know, the Anatole is kind of like the old school embassy suites. You can look into the lobby from your room. And I remember we were looking down and saying, you know what, someday we are all going to be all over the country and we'll better understand why these guys are still in the lobby. Cause it's a bunch of guys who were together that spread apart and now have this chance to kind of hang out with each other. And somehow it happened. I don't know how, but somehow it happened.
So you go from Wisconsin, stop at Arkansas, right? And yep. then you're hired at Florida Atlantic. You brought that up. And then you return to Pittsburgh to work for Pat Narduzzi. What's it like just being a part of his staff, and what have you learned from him? And you keep mentioning his defensive system and picking that up. You know, what's it been like just learning from him and working, you know, side by side with a defensive minded head coach like that?
Yeah, it's been awesome. His defense is actually one, and I didn't know Coach Narduzzi before I came here, but I had studied his defense with several other colleagues that I've worked with over the years. There's this unique blitz system that he has that we have that has a unique coverage behind it. I won't bore you with the technicalities of it, but it appears to be risky. You know, I mean, it looks like if you don't know what's going on and you just threw the film on, you would think there's people open all over the field. That's the simplest way I can describe it, right? And several times, Paul Rhodes was a guy I studied it with. Dave Dorn is a guy I studied it with. Chris Ash is a guy I studied it with. And we all had the same conclusion. We can't run this. There's guys open all over the field. So now I get here and I really learn, and I can't talk too much about it, but I learn the inside magic of all the things that make it work. On top of the fact that our structure is such that it really is, like I said, D-line friendly. We're aggressive with our coverage structure. So that allows our D-line to be aggressive up the field, and all those things, learning how to manage that and where the risks can be taken, and how aggressive you can really be has been a fantastic thing to learn. It's been awesome.
So obviously you're looking for guys that fit the system, right?
Yes.
But is there any kind of like certain qualifiers or disqualifiers for you when you're out on the road or you're going through film? I mean, is there certain things like, all right, he's got to be able to do this, and that's a requirement to play for Charlie Partridge?
Sure, right? And it's not Charlie Partridge, it's Charlie Partridge in this system. Because honestly, a lot of the guys that I recruited to Wisconsin, Bo Allen, and you would know this name, you're not, maybe you would because you're a freak show about players around the country, but this was a kid we recruited. He was fairly highly ranked from Minnetonka, Minnesota. Played for the Bucks for 4 or 5 years, won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. He had a great career. I would not recruit him to Pitt. We begged for him at Wisconsin. He fit what we did. It was very much gap control, dominate the guy across from you. You're not allowed to get reached, things like that. Where here, there are some parameters that allow you to get reached. And there's like anything, there's guardrails to it. You can't go crazy. But so to answer your question, the things that are a qualifier for the Pitt system, if you're an interior guy, the smaller you are, the faster you have to. You know, Kalijah Kancey, when he came out at Miami Northwestern, he was about 250. And in the spring of his junior year, there was very few people on him. Some of the Power Fives came on him, and you know his story. Some guys came in late, but it was too late. You know, he was just a tremendous fit. Some things that, regardless of system, that are non-qualifiers for me, if I get the hint that you don't love the game, I'm going to struggle to continue to recruit you. And sometimes we were talking about a young man who, you know, I have to leave nameless on Saturday. Yeah. I think he loves the game. I think there's things he has to learn, you know, and part of that is getting to know a young man, asking him questions and being direct with him about, hey, I noticed this. Why? And if you ask the direct question and you feel good about the answer, then he may be able to. It's not as simple as looking at a film and the play is away and the guy doesn't run to the ball. There's a lot of 16, 17-year-old kids that don't even understand what you're talking about, right? So you try to get deeper in on this thing and figure out, do they really love football, and do they love it enough where during that developmental phase, because that redshirt year was hard on Kalijah. You know, Kalijah wanted to come in and he wanted to play. And then when he went down and he was on what we call Rocks, that's our scout team, he was dominant. I mean, he was smoking guys, but I still knew he wasn't ready, right? And to his credit, he weathered that storm. And then, you know, the rest of what happened is history, right? So it's a combination of character traits and what physical traits fit into our defense.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the 24/7 Sports Football Recruiting Podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You've been in the game for quite some time, and obviously we're in a new era of college football with the transfer portal and the NIL. And I don't really want to get too much into that, but how much more important is that character checking off those boxes and doing homework for a school like Pittsburgh, right? I mean, you guys obviously have success, just had six guys drafted in the NFL draft, but you're not going to have access to some of the kids that some of the blue bloods are after. So, you know, how much homework are you trying to do on each prospect you recruit?
I think to answer your question, relative to the new day and age, I think finding someone who displays characteristics of loyalty to a degree, the portal has lived in South Florida forever. Like those high school, you can't complain about the portal in South Florida because those coaches just laugh at you and say, we've been dealing with the portal for 20 years. Sounds like your problem, right? You know, so there's certainly traits that we're looking for because like you said, for the most part, we're a developmental program. We're not unwilling to go to the portal if we have a hole to fill. The danger is if you have some young players that you're developing and you bring somebody in from the portal, you could be unintentionally sending a message to those younger players. And then it could start to feed itself if you're not careful. And this is what we're careful about. Now, those younger players, they get frustrated because it's about to be their turn. And then they go in the portal. And now all of a sudden you have this cycle of young player in, young player out, fill it with a portal. It's something to be very mindful of. So we are looking hard at character and hoping we can find guys that, like I said, can weather the storm of their development if they're not going to play right away. Because to me, like you said, some of the guys that, you know, we may or may not get at this point, the only difference is, in our opinion, if we've evaluated well, is how long until they play, right? Some of those 4- and 5-star guys are closer from a talent standpoint to being ready now, you know, where our guys need some development, whether it's physical or playbook or details. Like a lot of our guys, they make a lot of plays. And it's funny because it comes full circle. A lot of our guys, when they're doing interviews and they're at the combines and it comes to football knowledge, they blow away some of the prospects from the blue bloods when it goes from here to the NFL. Because during that developmental time, they're learning football beyond what a lot of other guys do.
Spending time on the scout team. I always tell high school coaches down in South Florida, they can't complain about the transfer portal, because as soon as they'll turn around right away and try to sell you on a kid that's one of their former kids that's in the transfer portal. I'm like, it can't be both ways, guys.
Yeah, that's right.
But I was with some younger coaches the other day, and you weren't around on the sideline, and you know, they kind of brought up how down in South Florida, I won't bring up this coach's name, you know, you kind of pointed him in the right direction. And I'll never forget one of the first questions I had for you when you were at FAU, right? We knew you had ties to South Florida. You were a guy that went and got Alex Collins, the 5-star running back up to Arkansas. And I asked you, you know, how many high schools are you going to be able to do in a day down here in Broward and Palm? And you turned to me and said, I'm not trying to hit as many as I can. That's not what it's about down in South Florida. It's all about the relationships and getting to know the coaches, and it's not, you're not trying to, you know, churn and burn. You're trying to spend time and invest. So someone that has, I think, navigated the waters down here, what's it like just, you know, trying to tame the beast that is South Florida and then get those guys up to Pittsburgh or wherever you might be?
Yeah, the toughest part to navigate, especially in spring, is, like you said, you want to build these relationships. But where I think sometimes I feel like I'm letting somebody that I care about, and I'm talking about a high school coach, down, is we can get to whatever our you know, number of schools for the day goal is. You can get that done during the day, right? And my goal is somewhere between 5 and 7. You could get to 9 or 10 schools, but kind of what we just talked about, you're going to be in and out, and the guy's going to forget that you were there. So I'm somewhere between 5 and 7. The challenge is getting to practices. That one is challenging to navigate. So going into spring, this is one example, you are begging for early information in terms of an off-time practice. Like Columbus practices at 5:45 in the morning. St. Thomas had a 1 week there where they were going at 6 in the morning. Booker T. Washington goes from 5 to 7 at the park right down the street. So you're trying to find all those off normal times of practice, and then you build your day out from there. And if you can find a Saturday scrimmage, like in, you know, if you're recruiting South Florida, you better take advantage of some Saturdays. Then you get the real evaluation. Then it's just a matter of being honest, right? And sometimes they may not like what you tell them, you know, that you know, you try to make it a soft landing, because every high school coach wants all of their players to go to the highest level they can. And 90% of them don't oversell, but they want you to give them a good evaluation. And if it doesn't work out, you know, you just explain to them, listen, he's a really good player. He's just not a fit, or the timing isn't right. Navigating those waters are a challenge. And then the other challenge is, honestly, is coming down there, you better be writing in pencil, because the reality is where he was in the fall is probably different than he is in the spring. And it could change again in the fall, and tracking all that. You guys, you know, 247 and like are great at helping us with that, to be honest with you, if a kid is a transfer. So that's another one. And there's a ton of challenges.
You brought up something interesting, you know, going to practices. And I think a lot of fans of college football, you know, as we get through this cycle, you know, we just had a rankings update. Kids are moving up and down, and people are like, well, what changed, right? You know, what changed? The film's the same and all that, but how key are like the in-person eye tests for you guys on that side? Like getting out, seeing a kid practice, seeing a kid move around, seeing if he's actually 6'1" or if he's 6 foot, like how key is that for you specifically when it comes to your evaluations and building out your board?
Yeah, I think it's the key, especially in an area with the volume that South Florida has. I mean, it's funny because you think you get to a point where there's still no stone to be unturned. There really is. And it's, like you said, it's the in-person evaluation. You also get to evaluate the intangibles. We know that. And you want, and you talked about, is he really 6 foot or 6'2"? If you want to get yourself, from our perspective, in trouble with a head coach really quick, go ahead and say in a staff meeting that a kid is 6 foot and he comes in and he's 5'10", because look out, here it comes, you know, and being able to confirm that is critical.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. You probably are not prepped for this, but since you have recruited South Florida for so many cycles, is there one kid that you didn't get, but you wished, like, hey, like this guy would have been perfect for me in my system, or someone that, you know, maybe you just admired from a distance that you knew wasn't realistic?
Well, it's probably a different spin on the question. This was my first time at Pitt. For the listeners that don't know, this is actually my second time at Pitt.
Yeah, you're at 12 years right now, right? 12 seasons?
Yeah, I'm going on 12 total. Yeah, seventh on this run. My first year recruiting, my first year at Pitt, so this is 03, something like that, recruited a kid out of Pahokee. He was – now it's harder to get away with today because of social media and there's, you know, tracking you everywhere. But I recruited a young man named Alfonso Smith, and he was committed to Pitt for a long time. He ended up going to Wake Forest. Well, again, I was young. I was living in Utopia. He was committed. Well, back then, the listeners and you, I mean, probably is hard to imagine. Kids could sneak on official visits. So he snuck on a trip. I didn't know that he was going to Wake Forest until signing day. That was rough.
That's one of the ones that got away.
That's the one that got away. And it was, listen, like I said, he was a great player. He would have been a great player at Pitt. He's a great kid. It was an extreme heartbreaking lesson in terms of don't bury your head in the sand. Keep asking the questions. Keep asking all the people around him what's going on. Don't assume a thing until that paper comes through. And nowadays with the portal, right, we're not recruiting. I know a lot of people say you got to recruit your own roster. That's just treating them right and telling them the truth, right? But there is truth to that. Don't bury your head in the sand with your own roster, kind of like I did with Fonzo on the recruiting trail. And, if you assume everything's fine and you're not checking on one of your own players and he comes in after spring and says, I'm going in the portal, you own part of that. Just like I own part of that with Fonzo, you own part of that then. So that was a huge, huge lesson.
This kind of transitions well into my next thing. We're in what? I don't even know, year three, four, or five of summer official visits. You guys at Pittsburgh, I think, embraced it way before others, much before others, in terms of bringing in big groups in June before the July dead period. And I know you can't obviously name specific names, but just, you know, what's the thought process behind that? I think you've told me in the past, you get a kid from South Florida or other parts of the country, you drop them in Pittsburgh, it's a city, right? They see that you guys practice right in the same area as the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you know, how important is just June for you? You come off the spring evaluation period. I'm assuming you have this Memorial Day weekend off, and then it's really full go in recruiting until July 4th.
It's a big period for us, you know, and it's not even about the weather. Right. That's not it. It's a time where, quite honestly, we've fallen in love with June visits more than the old December visits, just because we feel like, you know, you hope you're in bowl practices at that point. When we bring a young man and his family in June, we're able to commit that whole weekend to strengthening the relationship with him and his family. I mean, that weekend is all about them and obviously, you know, telling them what the strengths are of Pittsburgh.
I know we've talked about the evaluation process on the defensive side of the ball, but Narduzzi and the you guys have it going really across the board. I mean, six draft picks again in 2023. You know, none of those guys were what we would call "quote unquote" blue chip prospects. So, what is the philosophy? I mean, what is it like sitting in a recruiting meeting and you know what's the message coming from the head man about what you guys are trying to find?
Well, I think a number of things. Again, it's kind of Fonzo related, but not really. It's kind of along those lines. Listen, we're going to go after everybody that we think it could contribute at Pitt. The thing we got to do is not get so caught up in, because this is a young recruiter mistake, in my opinion. You can get lost going after your dream guy. If you don't get your dream guy, and if you weren't smart about your board, you could go from A+ down to a C like that. When we're looking at our recruiting board, we have a system where we can kind of indicate how we feel the recruiting is going, right? Do we have a great shot? You know, is it 1 out of 5? I'm not going to bore you with details of that, but it gives you a pretty quick snapshot, because I think sometimes you could look up at the board and see 10 magnets at any given position, running back. But if you really look at it, 8 of them might be guys that you're not going to get.
I wanted to ask you kind of about your defensive line outlook here in 2023. I mean, you lose a first round pick, an all ACC defensive player of the year, but I peeked at the two deep and you got projected. I mean, I don't know who did this projection, but five right. or four seniors are going to replace. You know, just how excited about are you about that group, and so maybe some of the other guys that are in the chamber, you know, kind of in that room that we don't know about yet. Who do we need to know about, I guess?
I think a couple of the top ones are David Green, and then I have 3 6-year D tackles coming back. Two of the 3 6-year guys are from Pittsburgh. Devin Danielson, who's from Thomas Jefferson, a storied program up here, and David Green from Central Catholic. Those two guys are in quality players. On the outside, Deion Hayes is ready to explode. He had a really good game down there in Joe Robbie. I can't believe I said that. Hard Rock Stadium.
That makes you a South Florida native, right? Yeah, there, Joe Robbie.
That was not on purpose. Deion Hayes is going to be a great one. Sam Okunlola, his brother Samson, is actually a freshman this year at Miami, kid from Boston. He's doing a great job. Nikai Johnson, who is one of our higher ranked recruits coming out of high school. He had a great spring. So I think we have some depth. I think it's going to be one of those things where early in the year, we're going to play good football. And I think by midseason, we could explode and be another great defensive line. But you said in terms of names to know, Devin Danielson, Deion Hayes, Nikai Johnson, Sam Okunlola, you know, those guys jump off the tape.
Okay. So Joe Robbie, does that make you a Dolphins fan? Like, are you a fan of the South Florida sports teams, or are you following the Heat's run and the Panthers run?
I know about Jimmy Buckets. I'm not a hockey guy, so I can't speak much to hockey. I'm excited that they're doing well, but I am a Dolph fan. There's not many teams where I get that childhood feeling. The Dolphins, I do. I grew up. I was at the 85 Dolphins Monday night versus the Bears when they were undefeated. I was at that game with my dad. I'll never forget it, in the Orange Bowl. When I see Dan Marino, which he's a Pitt alum, for those who don't know, and I see him a decent amount, I still get fan-like feelings. I get nervous around him. It's the stupidest thing ever. And he knows it, and he kind of makes fun of me, but I do. So, yeah, I'm a huge Dolphins fan. You know, I could tell a million stories about watching the Dolphins in the Orange Bowl that have great, great memories of those days.
Do you have a former player that's lined up or suited up for the Dolphins yet, or no?
Jalen Twyman's there now.
Okay.
Yeah, Jalen Twyman's there, which is awesome.
Well, Charlie, man, I don't want to keep you too long. I know you're back off the road. Got to get to the family. I really appreciate just kind of the insight and in terms of peeling back the layer and what you guys look for, how you've been able to produce Sunday players. It's been awesome to kind of admire from a distance.
Well, I appreciate it. And I mean this for the listeners and for your colleagues. We as an industry trust you, and obviously sometimes that media to coach thing can get a little silly, but we think a lot of you, and I appreciate what you do, so thank you.
Of course, man. Well, hey, you guys are listening to the 24/7 Sports College Football Recruiting Podcast. That is Pittsburgh associate head coach, defensive line coach, two-time Football Scoop defensive line coach of the year, Charlie Partridge. Really, really appreciate it, and we will be talking to you guys next time.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.